This message is a product of Vortex Church in Albemarle, North Carolina. We thank you for engaging this conversation. Messages like this one are great resources to help us grow, but they cannot replace being a part of a local church. If you're not actively a part of a church, we encourage you to find one near you that fits you, visit it, and get involved. And we hope this message gives life to you today. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Good. I'm glad you're here this morning. We have a treat for you today. Corey Williams is in the house. If you don't know who Corey is, Corey's been here a few times in the past. He's kind of like a brother from a different mother. He really is. He's become a good friend over the last 4 to 5 years, and really I've grown to be so impressed with just who he is when he's not doing something like this. How he leads and how he loves his church. I had the privilege this past year going down and speaking at Hope City in Savannah, Georgia, which is where Corey pastors. And I mean, I said this in all the services, I don't think that I've ever been in more beautiful church. And that's not just the way the church looked. I mean, that's his people. It's a beautiful church. It's loving. Y'all, how many of y'all know sometimes you come to church on Sunday, you just need to see somebody who's going to be loving towards you, who's going to give you a hug, who's going to be excited you're there. And his church is so, so loving. And I really think it's just an overflow of who he is. He's a loving God, takes such good care of his church, loves them, serves them really well, and has raised up a lot of really, really good leaders in his church. I mean, you just walk around his staff and you're like, God, you're amazing. You're amazing. It's just so many people around there that you're like, you're such a good leader and such a blessing to this church. And you see that that's an overflow of his leadership within his own church. And today we get to hear from him. So I'm excited for you. Corey's going to bless you today. I've heard this message. If y'all know my approach with our staff, I'm like, just go ahead and get ready to take some notes, okay? I mean, get your little note app out. Get ready to write some stuff down. There's a lot of content in this message. And I believe today that the message that Corey has for us, for some of us in this room, there's a lot of freedom and we need it. So would y'all put your hands together with a warm Vortex Church welcome and welcome my friend Corey Williams.
It is always good to be with you guys. Hey, you know, as I was standing there in the first service, and I did it again just then when I was just standing here watching Kevin, and he had this long beard. I wish mine can get that big. And I was like, man, if you ever want to know what he looked like if he was black, he'll look like me. But he's a bigger version of me. I'm the slim version of him. And so he's truly a brother from another mother. But it is truly an honor to be with you guys again here at Vortex Church. I just love this church, love the people, and just what God is doing here. As Pastor Kevin has already said, one of my honors and joys in this stage of my life, I'm getting older, y'all. I'm getting older. I've crossed that threshold of 46 years old now, and I thought it was over for me about 2 years ago. I'm 45 years old. In 20 years, I'll be 65 years old. And y'all, 20 years is not that far away. And I had no plans to share this story, but I'm going to share it with you guys. I found myself about to be depressed because I'm like 20 years old. 20 years from now, I'll be 65. That sounds like eternity. And in my mind, I thought, it's over with. I'm dead. It's over with. There's nothing else to do. My life is over with. And y'all, I woke up one night about a month into my 45th year, and I couldn't sleep. And something led me to go downstairs and just sit down. And in that same space, I pulled out a notebook. And I pulled the notebook out, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit allowed me to write out what the next 10 to 20 years my life was going to look like. And literally, I just wrote out from the age of 45 to the age of 55, I want to plant 10 churches and step away from full-time everyday pulpit ministry and then spend the next 10 years just speaking into the lives of pastors and politicians and business leaders for that 10 years. And then after that, spend the rest of my life just traveling to the weirdest parts of the country, just doing, who was the guy that said, and I did it my way. And I wanted to spend the rest of that phase of my life just doing whatever the heck I want to do. And when I put my life in perspective in that moment, I realized I got a lot to do, and I ain't going nowhere no time soon. So John Maxwell, I've been afforded the opportunity to be a part of that great work. If you're able to join us tonight, I want to talk about the six temptations of successful leaders. Six temptations of successful leaders. So whether it's in church, you are a business owner, you work for an organization, I'd love to see you guys with me on tonight. Let's go ahead and jump right into this message for today. I don't know about you, but there's times that God has made some promises to me. He has showed me some things, and oftentimes there is a gap between the manifestation of what I heard him say and when the time that the thing began to manifest. Have you ever been there before? God has showed you something, told you he's going to do something, but there's a lag period, a gap between the manifestation of it. We're going to see a story here in Genesis chapter 15, which really started in Genesis chapter 12, where God began to give Abraham insight of his future, of how he was going to be a father of many nations, how he was going to use him to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He gave him a glimpse of that vision in Genesis chapter 12. Then we get over to Genesis chapter 15, which we're going to read here in just a moment, and he gives the full details of that story. And there's a gap of about 10 years of the promise that God was going to do for him and the literal manifestation of his son. And because of that 10-year gap, we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 16, where Sarah gets weary of waiting for the promise of God. Let's read it for ourselves in Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and look at the stars and tell me if you can number them," which he couldn't. And he said, "That is exactly how your seed is going to be." And the last verse says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now let's go over to Genesis chapter 16. It says, "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. 10 years has passed, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave.'" What a brilliant idea. "Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. I mean, come on, man. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering." Men, have you ever been there before? Your wife has a crazy idea, and you agree with her. Then she blames you for the outcome. She said, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Last verse, he says, "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Isn't it interesting how we create a circumstance and we create a situation because we no longer want to wait for the promises of God to come the way that it is supposed to come? Oftentimes in life, as I said at the beginning of my message here, there's oftentimes a gap between when God makes the promise and the manifestation of it. And in between that meantime, the meantime can be mean. Sometimes the weight of the wait can can be heavy. The W-E-I-G-H-T of the W-A-I-T can be unbearable, and it puts us in positions that we get ahead of our skis, and we begin to do things we normally would not have done if the weight was not on us. This is where Sarah finds herself at 10 years later, after believing or waiting for the manifestation of what Abraham said God had said. Because it had not come to pass, she now comes up with this idea of, this is maybe the way that the Lord had said that the dream would come to pass for us. Listen, I want to encourage somebody on today. If God has made a promise to you, you don't have to manufacture a dream. You don't have to manufacture a vision. If God said it, He's going to do it. He may not do it in the timing in which we want him to do it, but I promise you, all the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen through Christ Jesus. When I look at this story here, I quickly see some negative, if you would, impacts of making poor decisions and failing to trust the process. I want to look at those with you right now. Whenever we get ahead of our skis, whenever we get in our flesh, our emotions, we get ahead of the process. We fail to trust the process of God, and we end up making poor decisions. And what those poor decisions does, or those impacts does, it strains our current relationships. Because of this decision that they made, the relationship between Abraham and Sarah, it began to be strained. Trust begins to erode. Communication begins to break down. Conflict and resentment begins to manifest itself in the relationship. And this happens in our marriages today, in our business partnerships today, in our country, in our nation today. When relationships begin to become strained, we find ourselves in situations where conflict begins to break down, that emotional distance begins to take place. You're in the same house physically, but emotionally you are disconnected. I can only imagine what the house felt like with Abraham and Sarah over those last 9 months. You lose respect for one another when the relationships become strained. Here's the second thing. There's emotional turmoil. I can only imagine the emotional turmoil that was in the mind, that was in the heart of Sarah, the anxiety and the stress, the guilt and the regret, the loss of control that was in their life, because now she finds herself in a position that she has allowed or agreed with her husband to give birth to a child through another woman. Imagine the emotional turmoil. She's in one room, her husband's in another room, making out with another woman. That she, man, I will lose my mind, y'all. I'm telling you right now, if the story was flipped on the other way, and I would be in the corner rocking back and forth, got me strapped up in the straitjacket, just going, because I can handle it. Emotional turmoil. And many of us may not be in straitjackets right now, but we are emotionally turmoil because the strains that's on our relationships when we get ahead of our skis and we make poor decisions in our finances, with our health, in that business decision, whether to leave the city right now or to leave later. Our decisions have consequences, and therefore we have to make sure that we don't make unnecessary poor decisions because we get weary in well doing. The emotional turmoil she had to experience. Not only the strained relationships and emotional turmoil, we also give birth to Ishmaels. When we make poor decisions, we give birth to Ishmaels. Unintended consequences begin to manifest itself. Complications and complexities is now taking place in the home, in the business, with the ministry team, whatever the specificity of it may be for you. All these things are taking place when we make poor decisions. Giving birth to an Ishmael. What is an Ishmael? An Ishmael is a lesser alternative to the real thing. A lesser alternative to the real thing. Anybody ever heard of a knockoff purse? It's not a real Gucci. It's not a real Louis Vuitton. It is a lesser version of the real thing. And oftentimes the fake one looks like the real one until you get close up on it. And too many of us are settling for lesser alternatives, lesser versions of the real thing, a lesser version of a spouse, a lesser version of a dream, a lesser version of a building. And listen here, it's okay to have lesser alternatives when it comes to purses and potato chips and the brand of sodas, but when it comes to your vision and your dream, you don't need a knockoff vision, you don't need a knockoff dream, you need to wait for the Isaac that God has promised for you. Can I get an amen right there today? We can't give birth to Ishmaels right now. Avoid complications and complexities. Sarah's impulsive decisions to have Abraham father a child with Hagar resulted in unintended consequences. And how often does that happen with us when we get ahead of our skis in our business decision, making decisions with our ministries, making decisions with our children to leave one city too soon because something didn't go the way we wanted to go. Now we move real fast. We have to learn how to wait on the Lord, not get weary in well doing. I want to just give you a few things here. Number one, be cautious of birthing the Ishmaels, for they may grow into burdens that overshadow the blessings that's meant for you. Be careful. I'm going to park there for a minute. Be careful of giving birth to Ishmaels because they have the power to overshadow the promises and the dreams that God has for you. Imagine the picture. Now Abraham's going to ultimately get the manifestation of his Isaac. Now that he got the promise over here, now, but he got an Ishmael over here. And oftentimes we find ourselves walking with the promise and the problem at the same time. All because we gave birth to something in one season we would have never gave birth to if we just waited and we trusted God. We got the promise, but we can't even fully enjoy it because we got the residue and the markings of what we did when we were in our season of failure. And this is not a time for us to unnecessarily cause the birthing of Ishmaels in our lives because we do not want to trust and wait on God. I believe that the visions and the dreams that God has for each and every one of you, your sons being saved, your marriage being restored, you finding that building you need for your business, finding the resources to get back to school, whatever the specificity of your vision and your dream may be, I believe that the God that we serve, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and everything that you need is in God's hand. He's in our present and he's in our future. And because he's Alpha and Omega, I'd rather trust him with my life than me trust me with my life, because all I can see is what I see, but he can see my present and my future at the same time. And it was a reason why he needed Abraham and Sarah to wait a little bit longer for the manifestation of that child. It was a bigger vision and a bigger purpose over their life called, you're going to be the father of many nations. And I need to know that I can trust you when I say wait. I need to know that you can... that I can trust you when you're waiting for me to bring something to pass and you don't get ahead of your skis. Listen, maybe you are waiting because God has something bigger for you. Maybe you are waiting because there's something bigger over your life and God needs to know, can I trust you with the fact that I know more about your life than you know about your life? Four ways to strengthen the relationships that means the most in our lives. Let me give you four ways to strengthen that relationship with that son, that daughter, with that business partner, with your spouse, that person in the community. Four ways that you and I can strengthen our relationships that means the most. Number one, think before you speak. That was deep revelation, y'all. That was deep. That was like, come on, somebody. Think. Come on, think about it. How often do we speak before we even think about what we say? We find ourselves in heated debates and arguments, and we say something that oftentimes we can't take back. The power of our words has the power to impact somebody's life in a negative way. And so we need to think before we speak. I am convinced that Sarah did not think before she spoke. I am convinced that whatever idea she had that morning, she said, Abraham, hey, honey, can we talk after lunch today? And Abraham says, sure, we can talk after lunch. Lunch is about over with. And she answered, and can't wait, and want to know where he at. Y'all know how it is, ladies. Y'all ready to talk. And so finally she said, Abraham, let's talk. Okay, let's talk. Hey, honey, I had an idea. You know, I just walking around the house all last night, and this amazing idea came to me. I said, now, you said 10 years ago, God gave you a vision that we were going to have a child. think what God really was telling you was that we're going to have a child. I believe that too. But he's going to do it through one of our servants. He said, okay, I'm listening. She said, so what I'm thinking about is, why not you go sleep with my servant Hagar and let her bring us a child? And Abram said, you know, that's I never thought about that. That never crossed my mind. This is interesting. Oh, okay. So you mean I go in there with her, sleep with her, do our thing, and you cool with that? Abraham, trust me, I'm cool with that. Abraham said, okay, let's do it. That's so stupid. And that was the stupidest thing since they made ice cream. Come on, somebody. That was dumb, diggity, dumb, 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 diddy, dumb. That was like five layers of stupidity. But think before you speak. And sometimes you got to think who you're talking to. Brothers, come on. And I don't know about you. I could not be in the position. If that's flipped the other way, and my wife in another room, like I said earlier, straight jacket. Lock me up. How many of you are locked up right now for some decisions you made a year ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and you haven't had peace in your life because you're dealing with the consequences of a decision you made over there or with this here? And you're not in white right now, but in your mind, you can't get the peace that passes all of your understanding because you made a poor decision. Before making a request or a decision, let's take a moment to think about the possibilities or the possible outcomes and whether they are right to do. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs his answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes out evil. Those of us that's trying to do it God's way, the righteous men, righteous women, we weigh our words because we understand that our words have power and that we have authority when we speak. And I want to be careful. I want to manage my words. So therefore, I'm going to think before I speak. I'm going to watch how I speak to my children. I'm going to watch how I speak to my spouse. Why? Because power of life and death is in my tongue. And I have the power to build her up. And I have the power to tear her down with my words. I have the power to build my kids up. And I have the power to tear them down. Whatever the specificity of it may be, when you find yourself in a tight spot, in a tight place, think before you speak. Number two, consider others. As you're strengthening your relationships, those that means the most to you, consider others. It's important to think about how our actions might affect others, just like Sarah didn't consider Hagar's feelings when she made her request. Why? Because it was about me. She didn't care about Hagar. All she knew was she was tired of waiting. She no longer wanted to wait, and she handpicked who she wanted to use. And how often in life do we handpick who we want to use and ultimately throw them away at discarded trash because we did not consider their emotions, their feelings? That when you're making major, particularly major decisions or any decision that can impact somebody else's life. Now, it's one thing if you're going out to get something to eat and you're deciding to go get something to eat just for you and nobody else is involved. Go eat where you want to eat. Popeyes, churches, Chick-fil-A, Bojangles. Go be selfish. But when you're going to get something to eat for everybody, you may want to consider other people as well. Why? Because people have different needs and different diets and things. But when you're selfish and you don't consider others, you don't weigh how those consequences will impact their lives. I just recently became a certified practitioner with the five behaviors, which gives me the ability to coach and train on five particular behaviors. And one of them, the foundation of the five behaviors, is trust, the lack of trust. And where there's a lack of trust, and not just trust that I trust you to come home, or I trust you to be on time, or I trust you to do what you say you're going to do, but this trust we're talking about when it comes to behaviors is vulnerability-based trust. Can I trust you that when I tell you how I feel about something, then you won't just disrespect me or push me to a side or no longer like me. Can I be vulnerable with you to tell you what I think and how I feel about this situation? It is important that we consider other people in the process of what we're doing, their emotions, their experiences, and their background, because it has the power to build something up and the power to tear it down. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I believe your marriage can go further faster when you consider your spouse more. I believe that restoration between you and your child can be restored much faster when you consider how they feel as well. You can go further faster. Romans 15:2 says, each of us should please our neighbors. There go again. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. My wife and I, we do this thing where we try to outdo one another. Outdo serving one another. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. It also says, dwell with her according to knowledge. What I know about her, what she knows about me. And we do this thing where we try to outdo each other. We started this years ago. Now it's just a natural thing that we do in our 21 years of marriage. But we try to outdo each other with the things that we know about each other. We try to do things for each other. Why? Because she's my neighbor. In other words, she's not me, and I'm considering her needs just as much as I'm considering her needs. And imagine two people who's trying to outdo each other. Nobody's going to be lacking anything. This is a selfless life when you are trying to strengthen your relationship. I wish Abraham would have said to Sarah, baby girl, I love you. Baby girl, I really like, God has blessed me with you. I just love all the years we've been together. But this one idea you got right now, girlfriend, is mighty stupid. But I still love you though now. I still love you. Now, we ain't gonna do that. Now, God has made a promise to me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he's delaying. I don't know why what he's processing. He's God. He knows something. He sees something we don't see. Let's just trust the process, okay? Let me just outdo loving you in other ways I can. Don't worry about a child right now. Let me just outdo love you. I'll love you like crazy in other ways until we wait for the promise of God. Are you with me on today? Let's consider others. Number three, trust God's way. One scripture said, there's a ways that seem right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There is a way that seems right to a man, because why? We process our life experience or life through what? Our five senses. And so what I see and what I feel, all those matter, and they should matter. But when it comes to this faith walk that we are in, God doesn't measure and do things the way that we do down here. That's why one scripture can say, one can chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 in flight. Well, wait a minute. If one could put 1,000 in flight, I add one more to it, that should be 2,000, right? But God doesn't work the way that we work. It's the reason why he could say the first shall be last and the last shall be first. God does not use the same calculator system that we use, y'all. That's the reason why nobody will never stop me from tithing, because sometimes at the end of the month, I don't understand how I got this much still left over after I gave all that away, because God's ways does not work the way that our ways work with everything. Trust God's word. Proverbs 3:5 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him in the decision, him in the process, him in the dream, and he will direct your paths. Now listen, I'm not saying you need to acknowledge him when you're choosing which type of ice cream you want. Okay, God, which ice cream should I get? The chocolate? Well, if not, get the one you want. Come on, somebody. You're driving out of a car. You know, it's hot in here. God, should I turn the AC on or off? There's some, it's some basic natural stuff in our life that we can just choose whatever we prefer. But there are some weighty things that comes to our life that we need to make sure that we invite God in on the equation. Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Your ways are not like my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. One more. learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. You're going to be in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or a business or mother and father or son and father. You got to learn from the mistakes from the past if you want to make the relationship stronger today. If you want me to stop talking about what happened last year or 2 years ago or what you did last month, stop doing it. Stop repeating it. I will get over it as soon as you stop repeating the mistake. Learn from the mistake. When we make a mistake like Sarah did, let's use it as an opportunity to learn and to grow, becoming wiser for the future. I have a pastor friend right now who's pastored a church before, amazing church, and the church began to crumble and began to fall. He made a lot of poor decisions as it relates to the church. Wasn't more failures, nothing like that, but just a lot of dumb mistakes he had made in the midst of COVID and all of that. And now he was ready to start a new church. And he's asking me for advice. He's asking me for some consultation. And I said, the first thing I want to talk about, let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you had to do with the failure of the first church. He did not want to talk about it. He was ready to just move on and go into this new thing. And you know, that's what we do in life when we fall short or we make mistakes in our marriages, particularly in marriages. One person is not over what happened yesterday, but the other one is ready to move on. I was in a situation where I had to counsel a couple, and the spouse was physically abusing the wife, and every time he physically harmed her, he wanted to move on like nothing happened. He wanted literally go out to eat. After an abusive moment, he wanted to move on, but she was still stuck there. But he was ready to move on. You cannot move on in this season without learning from the mistakes in the past. The same pastor, I said, we need to do an autopsy on you to figure out what's in you that killed that church so that we don't kill the next one in your future. Listen, as I close right now, there's visions, there's dreams, there's purposes, there's missions locked up on the inside of you, big or small, whatever the specificity of it may be. I challenge you, I encourage you that to learn from any mistake. Don't pass the blame to Sarah. Adam, don't pass the blame over to Eve. Own it. Own it. I fell short. I didn't hear enough. And move on and watch what God does for. Be careful what you ask for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for speaking to our minds. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to trust you in the process as we believe you for the manifestation of every dream and every vision that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast has been a production of Vortex Church in Albemarle, North Carolina. For more information on our church, we encourage you to visit us online at vortexchurch.com.